It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, Mason? Good morning.
Morning, John. How about them stocks?
Oh, my God. People are giving me a hard time because I put the over-under at zero wins for the year. And people are going, now it's on the over already. So they're embarrassing. And you are one of my confidants because you're one of the only people that has the Notre Dame White Sox gene in you the way I do. That's not a very common combo that in my circle. So I appreciate you for that.
Well, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. You and I share a unique pain together. So,
oh my God, isn't that the truth? Mason, thank you for giving me a call. It's been a while since we connected. I don't know what you have in mind, but I'm go wherever you want to go here. You want to talk spring? You want to talk recruiting? What should happen with these quarterbacks now? Whatever it is, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I wanted to expand on what I had texted you yesterday or the day before. When you were asking about recruiting, are you happy the way Notre Dame's recruiting? And you were saying that your morning show was pretty divided. So I just wanted to expand on what I texted you. So as it stands, I think that people are going to feel differently once the Dallas Goldens, Mark Zachary, Derek Meadows, once those guys get moving. Those decisions are all coming up. And this time of year, I think everybody forgets, myself included, that this time of year is just slow when it comes to visits, but it's about to pick up in a big way. So I think it's normal to feel like things are slow. And that's partially because Notre Dame has so many guys committed. They have double the amount of the second place team and the recruiting rankings in terms of commits. And of course, a lot of those guys are three stars, but I wanted to expand on what I told you yesterday was that, they took a lot of three stars, and the star watchers don't like that, the people that don't watch the film, but rather just look at the stars and determine if a guy is good or not. But at this time last year, Bryce Young was in the thousands and was a three star. When Notre Dame took Kyle Hamilton, he was a three star in the thousands. So at this point, I trust the staff eval, and there's only so many guys that can be four and five stars, but, you got to trust that those guys are going to move up too. And we've seen that a lot in the last couple of classes. Like, I'm not going to say I love every single take, but when you hear that some of these three stars like Hulak are guys that the staff absolutely loves and made a spot for, I have to believe in that. And hopefully a senior film just goes nuts and, you know, the staff's right. But when you hear that, you know, we have to have this guy, I have to trust Freeman on those kind of evals.
Yeah. And I think that's what's getting people nervous is how many of those is too many for you to trust the evals. And then you start wondering, are they doing this because they can't get anybody else like higher? Like, that's where you just don't want to be. And the other question is, Mason, is it a mistake to take those guys early? But I think the staff looks at it the other way, that they see what something they like and want to lock it up early. They see it as a positive to get in early on a guy, where a lot of the fans, I think, are going, shouldn't you be shooting for four and five star guys and go back to those three star guys if you can't get them? I don't think that's how they look at it. They trust their evaluations and the kind of athletes they're looking for. And for us, what option do we have? Hope that they're right, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think they trust their eval, and then they're able to push in all their chips on some big top tier talent as we get into the spring and summer portion, which I'm a fan of. You can focus all your efforts on these guys and get to know really where they want to be and, you know, what they're looking for in a recruitment and hopefully wow them. So guys, like I mentioned, like a Mark Zachary or a Dallas Golden or a Derek Meadows or guys like that, that are top end talents that you're going to need them to be on campus a couple times. Maybe you need to show them that NIL presentation a few times, whatever it takes, there's already interest there. So when you're able to give them more individual attention, because there's only so many guys you can take. I think Notre Dame's up to 18 or 19 guys.
Yeah.
The class will probably be 25 or 26. So, and to be honest, I don't care how big the class sizes are, because by the time that these guys all get onto campus within a couple months, you can tell who can play or not, or who, you know, fit. Half those guys leave. It's just crazy the amount of turnover that we're seeing. So I don't care how big the classes are. Take anybody you think has the potential to be able to play, and if they can't play it, they'll find their way on to Ball State or whatever.
Yeah. And man, it's hard not to like what they're doing at quarterback. That room is getting rebuilt, and there's more depth and high-end talent and multiple guys that could hit here. That's been a number one thing for a long time that Notre Dame needed to improve on, and it feels like they're doing that. Don't you agree? These rooms look much better top to bottom.
I totally agree, and that was, to be honest with you, I don't know if you remember talking with me about this, but that was my number one gripe with the Kelly thing, or the Kelly era. I don't know if it was laziness or if you truly believe this, but either way, it's horrible that, you know, we're going to go after a stud every other year and then just get, you know, that middling three-star in the in-between. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, as it stands, when you're looking towards the future of Minchie, Carr, Deuce, whoever the next guy is, Brady Hart, Smigel, whoever it is, the odds are that two, maybe three of those guys don't play a snap for you. You have to go get the best guy possible every single cycle and let them battle it out. And you can't prevent them from transferring. Tim O'Malley from Irish Illustrated dropped a stat. It was like since like 1982, the Notre Dame backup or the guy who lost the job in spring is transferred. This isn't like a new thing. So you have to go after the absolute best guy every single cycle, let them battle it out, and then just hope we don't have to go to the freaking portal anymore. And we can have our own guy for two or three years. Yeah. That would be a nice change.
Yeah. And be able to develop. And that, I'm sure that's what they want to do. It just seems like a more stable path, but you got to hitch your wagon to the right guy and then everybody can grow together. That'll give you some stability that we haven't really had. Can I ask you about a couple things on the defensive side of the ball with recruiting? See, I just want to see what your reaction would be. Number one is, there's a lot of linebacker-ish recruiting going on. And I've had people be like, why does it seem like it's so heavy on that? Is that looking for flexibility where a guy could turn into a speed end or like a big safety and they want like athlete and then see where they could turn into? Or am I misreading it that it seems like there's a lot of like linebacker-ish type builds and bodies here? What do you make of that?
No, I read it the same way, to be honest, because they're looking for because at this time, when you're looking at a Viper, like you need somebody, they can't be massive, but they need to be able to put on a decent amount of size, but maintain speed. And there's only so many guys that can do that. So you're looking for that body type that's kind of a tweener in between a linebacker and your traditional Viper defensive end, for a guy that can flash and be quick enough to get around the edge, but not be, you know, a traditional like big dude that's, you know, kind of slow around the edge. So I think they like that tweener type. And then once they get them to campus, they figure out what works best. And maybe they do keep them at linebacker, keep them trim, or, you know, they put a little bit more weight on you. And that, like a Josh Burnham or Aiden Gobier, for example, they want to push you out wide and then just see what happens. So I don't hate it. I do wish that they were going after, not that they aren't, I guess, but I wish they could land more true defensive ends rather than teaching a guy the Viper defensive spot. But it's not the worst thing if it works out.
Yeah, and that was going to be, you led me to my next question, which was going to be, a lot of people are like, okay, D-line, there's some dudes there, but like, where's dudes that are like really highly thought of? Do you have any anxiety about that position group or where we're trending and some of the guys we may be in it for or leaning away from or how that would go? Because that's another message I get a lot.
I'm a little bit concerned about edge recruiting. But I do think that they have some dudes on campus right now. Like, I'm expecting a huge year from a Traore. I think it's just there's a little bit of turnover on the defensive end spots, I guess, outside of Botello. So there's going to be new faces. And for people that don't necessarily follow recruiting, if you haven't seen guys before, you're just like, oh, who the hell is that? but Traore is going to be a household name by the end of the season. I mean, he flashed already as a freshman. That's hard to do in the defensive end spot. And then when it comes to recruiting, I don't really have anything for you there. I think some names are going to emerge. You know, they're constantly evaluating, but yeah, it's a lot of what you had mentioned, right? It's an outside linebacker slash Viper type that they're going after. So I'm not really sure what to make of that in this class. I need to watch all these guys again and then, you know, see how they end up developing into their senior season. But I mean, it's an interesting approach. I really want to nail down a top end. Like, you need to get, I hate to bring it up, but like a Keeley or like, you know, a top 15, 20 player in a class at defensive end.
Yeah.
So I guess they did get that in Bryce Young, but I anticipate him moving inside. So it's just a little bit different.
Yeah. And then switching it from recruiting to the team, this quarterback injury thing, not ideal. You really wanted this spring to build chemistry, develop, do all that. That kind of got messed up now with the injury situation with Riley Leonard. How do you think this should and will play out when we get to August? Like, the rest of camp, it's pretty obvious to me how this is going to go. But when you roll into August, if you assume that Leonard's healthy, is he the default number one by that health? Or do you have an obligation to give that role to the guy who led you through spring and make Leonard pass him? How do you think this is going to go?
You know, I think he is the default one until we're shown otherwise. I would love to see Angeli ball out in camp and really push him. But I am a little bit afraid of if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I love what Leonard brings to the table, especially for a game like A&M where he can use his legs. And Angeli isn't a slouch either. He can run around a bit. But I think Leonard gives us, you know, fully healthy, gives us the best chance to win at A&M. And then after that, I guess you can reevaluate. You might need his legs 15 or 20 times at A&M when things don't exactly go right, when it's just so loud in there, like 107,000 of those people, and they're all lunatics. So I think the injury, while it's unfortunate, it kept, whether it was Angeli or Minshew, one of them was going to go.
Yeah,
I still kind of think one of them does. Keeping four quarterbacks on the roster at
this
point,
but it extends the timeline of that move out. Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
And I guess I don't really have a read on which one is more likely to leave at this point. I would say Minshew, but just because Angeli's close to getting his degree, that's the only reason I say that. But it would make more sense for Minshew to stay and Angeli to move on and go get a job somewhere, but or get a quarterback job, not like an accountant job. But there are a few guys.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Notre Dame roster, I would tell them to move on and get an actual job in real life. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. It's weird how it just prolonged things.
Yeah.
Because at this point, you'd be anticipating that, you know, this, we're coming up on, I guess we're in it now, the transfer portal window for the spring, and you'd be seeing here in the next couple of days, no Riley Leonard injury, you'd be seeing Angeli or Minshew probably move on.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to see that in 2 months, I guess.
Yeah. It's, man, it's always something, man. Right when you think there's a plan and Notre Dame has a little bit of stability, it all gets messed up. And here we are again. Anything else to you from camp, Mason? What's standing out to you when you see these clips and you have your sources too, and you hear things about what's going on? What's a big takeaway from you for what you've seen as we're about approaching the blue and gold game in a few weeks?
Yeah, everyone's just raving about Micah Gilbert, and I'm really trying not to get caught up in the freshman wide receiver hype because it happens every single year. But this reminds me a lot of the hype that Greathouse was getting before the blue and gold game, and then he had 11 catches. You're like, whoa, this guy can play. And then he scores two touchdowns against Navy. So he had a solid year last year. I anticipate Greathouse to have a good year this year. And it wouldn't surprise me if Gilbert filled that role in terms of being the fourth or fifth guy and getting solid playing time. I think Cam Williams is still the jewel of last class in terms of receivers, but Mikey Gilbert's the most ready to play right now, and I think he's going to make a big impact. So he's probably in the top two or three guys outside of quarterbacks, of course, that I'm excited to see on Blue and Gold game. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing you there, by the way. You're going, right?
Yep. We are going, and we're tailgating, baby. So everybody's invited all day. I'll have the flags up in front of the Leahy statue. You can't miss it. And we're going to have ourselves a day. Everybody's invited.
I love it. I got one more thing, and I'll let somebody else hop in, John. But I'm excited to see the corners. BMO being out sucks. He doesn't need these reps, but I need him to be healthy by week one. But I need to see something from the corners. And it sounds like Mickey and Gray are going at it, which is great. I mean, those are two of the better corners we've had recently. I need to see one of them nail down the job. But also, I'm curious to see what the rest of the back end looks like with Hurd. I want to see what he looks like. Clark. We're not worried about Watts or BMO. Or I guess I'm really not worried about the other corner spot either, because I know that Mickey or Gray will be fine. So I'm just curious what the rest of the secondary looks like, because I feel really good about the defense as it stands.
Yeah. Man, I'm with you. The last thing for you is, do you think it's realistic that this offense really does get more electric and pushes it more and is more exciting and takes some chances and tries to open things up a little more? Like, that's kind of the goal here with Denbrock. Do you think that's a reality, or is the personnel still going to limit some of that for Notre Dame? I think you're going to see more that we like, that excites us. I just don't know how much more you're capable of pulling off.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know if you're going to see deep shots necessarily, because I don't know how great Riley Leonard is at throwing the deep ball, but I think we're going to see more exciting stuff and getting absolute most out of the personnel we do have. Like, everyone's talking about Jeremiah Love in the slot right now, just getting him the ball. And I think that he can be used, I don't want to say in like a Chris Tyree way, but I think that he's a better Tyree in the way that he's an all-purpose back. He has that next level speed. And Tyree had that straight line speed, but he couldn't make anybody miss. Love has that wiggle where he can make people miss in space. He's a great pass catcher. He can run in between the tackles as well. So this is going to be a big year for him. I'm super pumped to see that. And the thunder and lightning like combo with Price is going to be super interesting, because they're both, once they get moving, they're in the same kind of speed category. They're just different players and they complement each other really well. So I'm curious to see what Denbrock does with those two.
Yeah. And one of Denbrock's big strengths everybody talks about is finding favorable matchups to exploit, finding weaknesses, doing all that. Like, I just think you're going to be entering these moments with a different level of thought and preparation and adjustment ready. Like, I really hope we see that. And if you can spread it out at all, not like deep bombs, but if you get anything you could spread out with the rest of the passing game, only helps the running game. And it's just going to help keep guys from lining up on the line of scrimmage and crashing down. It'll help everything. I hope we get some of this.
Yeah. I mean, Notre Dame has a better offensive line than LSU, and they're used to the ground and pound. So if you're able to spread them out and then you're able to run the ball with less people in the box, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Almost wish Denbrock was here 1 year earlier. I would love to see us may working with that, but
yeah. And then again, big game one, Texas A&M, and those weirdos and those male cheerleaders in the white overalls and all. But Mason, I'm already not here for it. I've already heard they pump in fake crowd noise. The whole, you're going to have all of that. I'm already worked up about it, man. It's like 5 months early and I'm ready to go.
Oh yeah. Wait until they drop their, they do like a diss, like the male cheerleaders, like the week of, they're going to make some sort of diss.
I'm really scared of that diss track coming from a male in white overall. Said nobody. Like, bro, it's weird.
I need you to remix it.
It is weird. I am already sick of these people. And so, it's going to be one more thing on the way out. What would be a successful year for you in the new playoff era for Notre Dame? We've never been through this before. Is it make the tournament and win a game? Like, what is your line that's going to make you say, man, this was a good year?
Yeah, you got to win a game.
Yeah,
it's kind of shocking. Notre Dame haven't won one yet. I think they've had good teams that were capable, and they just, the Kelly shits down his leg in those kind of games. So If they make it as like a 5 or 6 seed, you have a favorable matchup, especially if you're at home, there's no reason not to win that kind of game. I think Notre Dame, as like if they were to be in that 5 or 6 range this year, would have played like Liberty or something like that. Like if you don't beat Liberty by 21, 28, like I just need to see them not only make it, which would mean you're going 11-1, 12-0, but prove yourself in the playoff and make a run at the thing. I don't need, I mean, of course, a national championship would be great. I don't know if that's realistic this year, but make a run at it. Make people believe, and like, let's see what a South Bend crowd in the winter looks like.
Yeah,
for a playoff game, unprecedented.
Yep. That's what you want. That's the goal, is doing enough to get that first home game, the last week of December, and hopefully against a warm weather team. Like that is, if you have to give up the bye, but you get that, I'll make that concession to be a part of this. That would be a premier situation for us.
Yep. I'm down. Oh. Thanks for having me on, John. I'll let somebody else hop in. Hey. I'll turn your stream back.
I really, really appreciate you jumping in, Mason. Always good talking to you. And then we'll see you in a few weeks at the game. I'll text you with some more details. We'll see you there.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Have a good one, buddy. Thanks for touching base. Right, really, really appreciate it.